7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Let's pray. We do ask your blessing now on this study, that you would lead us and show us who you are right now in our lives. You would draw us to yourself, and that we would leave here realizing if we do not worship you, we will worship someone or something else, and that would be very blasphemous. And we ask now your blessing and anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate you traveling with us as we've been going through the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, is typically a book that many Christians, and unfortunately, in my opinion, many Christian pastors have been reluctant to teach from and to take their people through. I think it's a great mistake. I believe that we need to go through every book of the Bible and that God speaks to us, but especially the book of Revelation, where it starts off saying, the Lord is saying to us, I want to bless you. I want to bless you as you read this. I want to bless you as you listen to this. And I want to bless you as you keep my word. In other words, as you obey, as you abide in me, I want to enrich your life. I want to bless you. I want to lead you. I don't want you to be living your life in a sense of speculation. That's why I'm bringing the revelation, so that you might be able to live in a way with great determination. You like that? That's a pastor's message there. Speculation, revelation, determination. And that's so true. And what we want to do is to be deeply in love with Jesus. Now tonight, as we look at the Antichrist that comes on the scene, the false prophet that comes on the scene, and certainly a number at the end of chapter 13, which is 666, those are all things that create a sense of stirring in the Christian community and outside the Christian community. And people really want to know about that in detail. But I think if you've been traveling with us through Revelation, I am not going to venture out in an area and try to build something where it's beyond what God has given to us. What we want to do is to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, his lordship over our lives right now, understanding the future for those that have failed to follow Jesus Christ, that there is a day coming, the day of wrath, God against all ungodliness. And even in that time frame, what we have seen is the incredible love and mercy and patience of God during a 7-year period of time known as the Great Tribulation on earth. We see God still trying to reach each and every person in this world to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as we start chapter 13, we've read a few verses, but we must back up just a little bit and realize that the end of our message on Sunday, we noticed in verse 10 of chapter 6, John the Apostle speaking, he said, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by," verse 11, "the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. So the devil, the created angelic being who fell from heaven, when he decided amongst the heavenly realm that he wanted to be worshipped and not to be a worshiper of God, and we saw that with him, a third of the angelic created beings now were under his control. So there's one devil, and he goes by many names, Satan, the devil, many other names, and his working force are called demons. So the whole makeup in this spiritual realm of darkness are fallen angels. And it's one third, meaning that there's two thirds that kept their love for God and worship for God. And that's the way it is. So this demonic realm led by Satan, Satan has access to the throne of God today and is known as the accuser of the brethren. So he's been cast out of heaven in terms of the place and position he once held, but he has access to accuse us before God daily. Jesus is interceding for us. There's a time coming in the middle of the tribulation period, the 3.5-year period of time, where Satan then has no longer any access at all to heaven. He's just here working the earth. And that's where we see here in the scripture, he knows his time is short, 1,260 days. And his desire is to keep people from loving God and following God. So his desire right now is to keep you from living a life that glorifies God. That's his desire. Can Satan steal your salvation? Can he take that gift of salvation away from you? Answer is no. But he did come to steal, kill, and destroy. So what he wants to do in my life and in your life as a believer is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rip you off of your relationship with God. He wants you to live in fear and in unbelief. He wants to steal away the joy of the Lord and the joy of your salvation. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to rip off your life and your fellowship. He wants to ruin your family. He wants to take down your marriage. He wants you not to have any testimony at all in your life. He wants you to stay away from the church. He wants you to stay away from the body of Christ. And many people are listening to Satan because, based on what I just communicated, if we think, in a sense, logically for just a moment, he has the greatest attendance on Sunday. It's his church. It's his church. That's the biggest church in Whatcom County. His church. The church of the unbelievers. That's his. And he wants to add to that. He wants to draw people into that realm and keeping them away from God. We need to understand his strategy. God said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's where we're living at in this realm right now. In verse 11 of chapter 12 that we just read, how can we overcome this demonic being, Satan, and his place in this world? And it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ, verse 11, the Lamb of God. So when we are under spiritual attack, we say, no, Jesus Christ, he saved me by his blood. So you're attacking me, Satan. You're telling me I am not worthy. You're telling me I don't measure up. You're telling me I'm not good enough. And I want to communicate in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. And I will just, in my own heart, celebrate. I'm not communicating with Satan. I rebuke those lies in the name of Jesus Christ, but I will celebrate the fact that God saved me not by my good works. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't save me because I was righteous. I was unrighteous. He has given me his righteousness. I will celebrate that. He has given me eternal life. I will celebrate it. It's not by my power, my might, or my works. It's by his Holy Spirit. I'm going to celebrate that right now. So it's by his work on the cross, the blood of the Lamb of God. And then we take the word of God, just as Jesus did. And he said, when he was tempted, the word of God says, has not the word of God said, this is the word of God. And we just bring the word of God to bear. How can a young man keep his way pure? By hiding God's word in your heart. I've hidden your word in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. So it's the word of God. And as we said on Sunday, lastly, it's your life. And you want to live your life for the Lord. It's only when you're ready to die that you're ready to live. When you know you have salvation and eternal life, you are ready for heaven. So I was in a store the other day, and as I was leaving, and the man, I go to this particular hardware store because the guy that's in there, he's been around for a long time, let's say that. But he's always got the great answers. So I just come in. I need a little screw, so I brought the whole machine because I don't even know how to take the screw out. So you can, he takes care of me. And I just says, this is so good. I said, that's why I come back here. He says, well, I hope I'm here next year. He says, well, why wouldn't you be? Well, I'm getting older. And I says, but are you ready for heaven with Jesus? Are you ready? He goes, absolutely. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to hear, right? That's what you want to hear. So you can talk all you want, but you want to get to bottom line, especially if time's ticking and you're there, and it's great. We got something else in common. So when we're looking at this, we realize that we have that testimony. Now in verse 13 of chapter 12, we didn't get to read those. We will now. Now when the dragon saw that he had first been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And again, the woman is Israel, the child is Jesus. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for time and times, time and a half and time from the presence of the serpent. So that's for 3.5 years. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, other believers, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So in the last 3.5 years, if you turn back to Matthew's gospel, we'll just connect this real easily. Matthew 24, let's connect the dots. Let's hear what Jesus is speaking about regarding those last days, the 3.5 years. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 24 is known as Jesus' commentary regarding the last times. It says in verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And this is a reference, again, back to Daniel, that in the middle of the tribulation period, after 3.5 years have gone by, after there's temple is set up, there's the worship in the temple, there's been a sense of a pseudo-peace, a make-believe peace in the world through the Antichrist, he is going to then declare that he is the one to be worshipped. At that 3.5 year mark in the tribulation, the Jewish people who God has been reaching out to, as well as the non-Jew people, but he's saying to the Jewish people, at this point, it is time for you to flee to the mountains. So they're going to go out into the mountains or wilderness area. Some people think of Petra as the place. It's very interesting. If you ever have time, if you just Googled Petra, and you could see, it's been in some very well-known movies as well. They've done filming there. And it's actually had a representation there with Christians trying to make resources available, but God knows. So it doesn't say Petra, but it's something like that. There's a provision that God has made for his people. And they, how are they going to know? Well, it tells us because they're going to read and understand. Maybe a book as the New Testament that hasn't been that sense of one of their, you know, top 10 books to read at the moment might become that. I mean, God is going to be working and they're going to read that, you know what, the Messiah did come and we lost out when he came the first time. We realize that now. And we realize that this person who we thought was going to be a sense of the Messiah is not. This is the Antichrist. So their understanding of Daniel is going to fit into place and obviously go over and to read some of this, and they're going to flee. They're going to leave. And God's made a provision for them already. Isn't that wonderful? He's made a provision in advance for them. And what's going to happen is the enemy's coming after him, Satan. He hates the woman, Israel. Satan has always hated Israel, right? We stepped through from the very beginning of time. 3:15 of Genesis. We see it starting right there. And we see it today, don't we? The hatred towards Israel. And when he makes this provision, as we see in Revelation 12 that we just read, there is going to be a flood. Now, some people say that perhaps that flood would be an army. Using the terminology in a symbolic way, it could be an army. It could literally be a flood. So what we know is that Satan brings to them a destructive measure that can wipe them out. So that we know. So whether it's an army or a literal flood, don't know, but it's some resource that he's going to destroy them. Well, if you go back into the Old Testament in Exodus and Numbers and other places, you'll see in the day of Moses and in Pharaoh, the things that were brought against his people then and the provisions God made. God has opened up the earth in the past. Think for just a minute with me. When Moses was at the Red Sea and he's standing there, and they have been celebrating the provisions of God, but now the Red Sea is before them, and Pharaoh's army is behind him, and he knows, what are we going to do? And even as he's calling out to God, God's wanting Moses to do something else. What is God wanting Moses to do when he's at the edge of the Red Sea? What does he want Moses to do? What's that? Take the next step. Move ahead. Take the next step. You got to go in the water. You got to go in the water. And that's where we get. So we get to this point. We get to this point, and it's like, well, I'm praying. And I think probably God says, I've heard. Move. Go ahead. Because he wants to work. So he's heard, but it's that next step. And when he took that next step to see what happened. But actually, if we went over to Exodus chapter 15, in Exodus chapter 15, it's a pretty neat thing that happened because it ended up becoming a worship song. So just like we have worship songs as we go through Revelation and we see the answers to prayer and the great work that God is doing and everybody up in heaven. But as you look over in Exodus chapter 15, and if you would look at verse 19, it says, "For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on to dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess and the sister of Aaron took the temporal in her hand, and all the women went out with her, and they began to dance. And Miriam answered them and said, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. For the horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea.'" So here is a great illustration when, in a sense, the darkness of hell is against the movement of God. And it comes to faith in Moses. You got to lead. You got to move forward. I'm working. I've got it. I've led you this far. I am not going to lead you to destruction. move out, move forward. And as he moves forward, he sees the mighty provision of God. And as they go across and they're on the other side, then they see the army coming, and God just lets them get far enough in to allow those waters to come back upon them and takes care of them. Going back into Revelation, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, to see how God communicates something in the future, how he's going to take care of his people. Many times in our conversations that we have and that I have, there is great concern that I have where people, believers, do not believe that this is Israel. They say that it's the church and the church is going through the tribulation, but when we look at the woman, we have to identify, we have to put the meaning behind the name. It's Israel. Some would say Mary. It's not Mary, because if you follow that logic through, it's just she's not going to have that kind of tribulation coming against her. It's Israel. And it has everything to do with Christ and the relationship and the future and the Messiah. So we got into chapter 13, and when we began to read, we see, okay, who is coming onto the scene? So in the last days, there is a religious leader and there is a political leader. So the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to come onto the scene. They're going to work in a coordinated way together. So when people say to you, you know, you need to separate your religion from your other areas of life, it'll never happen. And I would be sad if it did. Your faith in Jesus Christ is who you are. It is with you everywhere. No matter where you stand in your political beliefs, in this temporal place, that all goes away. What stands is your faith in Jesus Christ forever. That's what stands. And never be silenced regarding what you believe. You stand strong for what you believe. You do not apologize for what you believe. You say, no, what I believe is who I am. It's made me who I am. I know what it's like to live a life without believing. That's not the person I am anymore. The Bible has led me. It teaches me. I want to become like Jesus. That is my goal. It influences everything I do. My belief in Jesus Christ, and use his name. My belief in Jesus Christ and in his holy word is what my life is about, because I give an account to God, as will you, based on what did you do with Jesus Christ. That's what you're accountable to the Lord for. Not what you do with your job or your position or anything politically. What did you do with Jesus Christ? And that's where we're at. And it's a wonderful thing. If your life, if the life you're living had no relationship to the Word of God and to Jesus, then I'm going to wonder, what is this about? And what have we had? And what do we have? Absolutely. It makes all the difference. So our decisions are based on what pleases God. Our decisions are clear in areas where God has spoken. You see, right now, people want to take the word of God and say, well, this is what God means. I didn't really think he meant that regarding relationships. God accepts and blesses same-sex marriage. No, he doesn't. No, it's a perversion against what God has created. It's an abomination, and it leads a life to condemnation, spiritually speaking, if that's the way you go. But you know, they'll gather up religious voices or whatever else, and I say, listen, why don't you just let Jesus speak, okay? Just let God speak to you, okay? Just read the word. God's big enough to speak, and he has spoken. So just read what he said. He can speak right there to you. Let him speak to you. He will. Through the Spirit of God, he's trying to protect you. It's not a prohibition. He's protecting you. He's leading you in the right way for you, for your life, for your family. Don't be deceived. So what we see portrayed before us right now is just great deception. Even people that can be sound with business decisions and even sound in some moral decisions are spiritually lost. They're deceived. They're spiritually lost. And all of this in the end, you'll spend eternity with who you thought was your worst enemy on earth because you both are unbelievers. Does it make sense? You need to come to the Lord and follow Jesus Christ. So he's telling us in chapter 13 that there is this beast that's going to come from the sea. And he's speaking about this world leader. You'll notice in verse 3 that it indicates that he had a mortal wound. And there seems to be a recovery from that. It seems to be, again, all the world marveled and followed the beast. So at this specific time, we've seen that with the two witnesses, it's very clear that all the world is being informed as moment by moment. They're living in that daily reality. So, you know, coming to the Lord in 1978 and going through Revelation shortly thereafter, and as Bible teachers would say that there'll be a way that the world's going to be able to see some way, probably through, they would probably be saying there might be something like cable TV or something like that. Again, back in the 70s, you know, thinking, how can the whole world see? So maybe through a television, and then satellite information, you know, started to go up. And so they were thinking that in a human way, how could that happen? But here we are today, and then we know how that happens, right? If things are in real time. And as we have learned, the smartphone devices that we have, it's been communicated to us that the whole world will have this technology within just a couple of years or so, 2, 3, 4 years at the latest. And that's why, you know, there's the ministry of the global outreach that we're aware of people searching the web from all over the world looking for answers and how we can participate in answering those questions. Now, this was unheard of, even a few years ago, to think of the possibilities that we have. So, again, as we go through this, we see it's in real time. Now, verse 4, as we read, they worship the dragon. Remember, the dragon, we learned, is another name for Satan. And he's going to give authority to the beast. So the Antichrist is going to be empowered with authority by Satan himself, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him. So there's something about the Antichrist when he comes that is extremely attractive. He is able to do what the world is hoping to do, and that is to have a sense of peace. He is able to communicate to the world, and there's a sense of worship of this person. They love him. They worship him. And Satan's using all of this as well because he's behind that and all the worship's going to him. So I think we've lived through and in a time where we can see how the hearts of people can be mobilized around an individual like never before. In other words, I think like no other time in the matter of hours or a day, people can be mobilized for a cause. And you can see that we have learned that people of character and people of commitment, that really doesn't weigh in when you say, what can I have? So if my life can be enriched, I don't care what the leader is doing or the character too much. As long as you're making my life good, keep going. Keep doing that. It doesn't really matter. And unfortunately, we're living in such a day as that. And so as we see this verse 5, he was given a mouth speaking great things, blasphemous. He was given authority to continue for 42 months. That's a 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So all of this is going on. Remember, Satan is a great imitator. So Jesus Christ says, I'm going to all nation, tribes, and tongues. So he's going to do the same thing. The Lord told us that he marked the 144,000 that would be sealed, right? We read that in Revelation chapter 7. When you move forward in verse 11, I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, the Antichrist. So here comes the false prophet whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth and in the sight of men. Again, these are counterfeit signs to what God has been doing. Verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This sounds like Daniel, doesn't it? It sounds exactly like Daniel when they made that image, that they were supposed to bow down and worship that image. So we see the history of Satan. We see the history of the demonic realm. This is coming at the end of the age, the end of the 3.5-year period of time. What do we bring out just at this point? A couple of things that are very important. Is there not great spiritual deception taking place right now? Have you not seen, sadly to say, so many so-called Christians off the grid, do not have the word of the truth of God dwelling in them? They're not living for the word of God. Have you not seen in our time right now, many churches don't really care if you bring this or not. It doesn't really matter. We'll bring a couple of scriptures out of here on Sunday to help enhance our happy feel-good message, help you feel good. That's what it's about, isn't it? We've really gone astray. It's very sad. So Jesus said in Matthew 24, be careful, deception, deception. Don't be deceived. Have you not talked to people about biblical issues, moral issues as a Christian? And you go Christian to Christian and you think, what world do you live in? What Bible are you reading? What gospel are you following? What are you talking about? Where do you live? It's foreign. And then you come back thinking, did I miss something? I mean, are they seeing something that I'm not seeing? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is Paul speaking, and he also gives us a little bit of a presentation of what John is giving us in Revelation today. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, over the chapter, mine has a title called The Great Apostasy. It means the falling away, the departure, specifically related to believers. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now, brethren, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by my letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Thank you. So the day of Christ hasn't come, but we're staying strong, right? We're not departing. We're staying strong. It hasn't come. It is coming. We're in the midst. Continue verse 3. Heads up. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will come, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, which would be Satan, the son of Satan, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So just like from Revelation that we just saw, he's saying in the tribulation period, after the 3.5 years, he's going to say, I'm the one to be worshiped. And the false prophet is going to direct people to this, and he's going to use lying wonders and signs. So if we continue reading, it says in verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 2, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I believe it's the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within the believers. The Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within our lives. Do we agree to that? And the Holy Spirit living within you means that you're a temple of God, and God dwells with you, and you are his representative on earth. He's called you his ambassador, and you're right here in this world, and you're doing what God wants you to do. He says, deny yourself and follow him. Listen to the Lord, follow him, follow him. And it's the work of the church, that is all believers in Christ Jesus, believers that have yielded themselves to the Lord and to the working of the Holy Spirit. We're listening to the Holy Spirit through the word. We're yielding, we're abiding, we're bearing fruit. We are that restraining influence right now. When the church is raptured, that restraining influence is gone. Now, God is always present. So remember, God's eternal. So the Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit's always around, but he's manifested, God the Holy Spirit, in your life. And the influence of God through your life and through the Holy Spirit, I believe right here it says to us in verse 7, he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception amongst those who perish, because, listen, verse 10, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's it. So you may say you're a Christian, but if you do not receive the love of the truth of God, and you're writing your own Bible, your own script, your own code, then I'm sorry, because you did not receive the love of the truth, and you're not headed to heaven. Read it. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie and that they may be condemned who do not believe the truth. But it says, and my page is turned right there, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So I communicated a couple of weeks ago that there is some Bible teachers that say, for those who are alive right now and the gospel's been presented, the love of the truth of God and the grace of God, it's been presented. It's like, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm going to believe a lie instead of the truth. God says that there's this strong delusion that comes upon them. So what I'm saying to every person who has heard the gospel, clearly has heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God is working, and God looks in that area. God's in charge of our eternal destiny, but he looks in. He's given a strong warning. If you resist and you've hardened your heart towards that truth right there, and you want to believe the lie and not the truth, God says there's going to be strong delusion in your life. And to me, you think you're waiting for tribulation to get right with God? That's another lie you're believing. You're deluded. You're going down the wrong path that leads to hell. It's sad. But you wrestle through those scriptures. I would rather err with someone saying that was too harsh than someone saying, I wish you would have told me the truth. Because we're talking about eternity. We're dealing with the reality of eternal life. And I stand before God, and God says, why'd you make accommodations I never made? Why did you extend a provision I've never extended? That wasn't what I said. I said, you want to believe the lie instead of the truth. God says, I'm going to move in on your heart. You said you don't want me, just like with Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, no, 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 no. God, it says it hardened his heart. God affirmed his position. That's your position? That's your position? Is that the position you want? There is a point where God will affirm that position. Absolutely. I don't know where that's at. I go from the point of hoping that that position isn't affirmed in everybody, and I'm believing and praying for repentance and brokenness, but this is the gospel for us. If we go back to Revelation as we finish our study tonight, it says, he caused all, verse 16, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Notice over in chapter 7, verse 3, very important, 7:3. 7:3 says, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So God is bringing a way of sealing his representatives. Also over in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, and then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. So praise God. Those representatives are marked out, but the enemy's going to come in the tribulation. And if you take the mark of the beast in your hand or forehead, there is no heaven. Your destiny's determined at that point. It tells us no one in heaven. Those that go to heaven have not taken the mark of the beast. Well, Pastor, I'm a little bit concerned. I was at this event the other day, and they wanted to stamp my hand when I was leaving. I just... Brothers and sisters, if you're a believer in Christ, you have nothing to worry about because we're with Jesus in heaven. And what's going to go on here at this time, they will absolutely know what's going on. It will absolutely be obvious of what's happening. There's a new world order. There's a new world system. There is a new world leader. The country, the nation has all come together. There's a one world government. There's a one world economic system. There's a one world religion. And it's influencing people towards the kingdom of darkness. And God still is going to work in a saving way during that time. Have you not heard of a one-world government? Have you not heard of a global economy? Have you not heard we should just all become one spiritually together? Have you not seen the strange bumper stickers that put all the icons of all the different religions together? And you just reach your hand out in front of that car in front of you and say, God save that person. And you could just see the silliness of that. But no, that's where we're headed. That's really where we're headed right now. That's where the leaders of the world are headed, now like never before. We're living it with economic crisis around the world right now. So this is the time to be right with Jesus and to do what he has for us to do. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you again. We are moving through your word. We thank you for the confidence and the assurance that we have. I would ask in the name of Jesus that you would, Lord Jesus, rebuke this proposition regarding same-sex marriage. That, Lord, it would be a rejection from heaven against this. And I would just ask that, Lord, that is my prayer regarding that issue. I ask, Lord, that you'd continue to work in our lives. We're not here trying to be promoting ourselves or anything else. We humbly come and thank you. We pray that you would embolden us to speak the truth and to really see what the scripture said. Am I telling the truth? Or am I hiding back and couching the truth and trying to serve it in a way that people may like me or maybe like God more? May you just help us let you speak. Just show us your word and just you want to speak. We pray that we could understand that and do that. Thank you, Lord, again. Encourage us as we go home tonight. Bless the families, Lord, of our fellowship, the work you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.